You know how Rob is.
Love Talk Radio.
He can't be on time.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
We're about to start the show. Hey, Rob. What's up, Marvin?
JQ Marston's going to be
Gary
a better
Curtis
person.
Taking
and,
the night off?
And say congratulations for the Lakers over there.
Getting their rings tonight.
I needed it. I know we still suck, but I needed that. I needed that victory in my life.
They're getting the ass ripped tonight, though.
All right, only down eight now.
We are. It's like 35-40.
They're only down eight. It's the first game. It's all right, baby. We got some things tonight. We got some things tonight.
They're making a little run.
Mm-hmm. They still high up getting them things. They didn't come up. They weren't ready to play tonight.
Oh, my goodness. We got a lot to get into. Hopefully, Gary will call.
I hear Curtis.
Curtis say that new. Oh, what's up, Curtis?
Yeah, I'm on, but I'm sorry, you guys. My fingers don't operate a computer so well.
That's okay.
Oh, right, don't worry.
Yeah. Having fun.
Bye, guys.
Marcia's saying bye. As well,
good night.
Appreciate wanted to give a shout out and show her appreciation for the Lakers. If you.
This is where, hey, Mark, before you walk away, you're going to miss my intro as we get started. I was going to say a shout-out to Dwayne Haskins because, you know, again, they were essential workers, by the way, so he had to do that, man. So just wanted to say that, man, that they were essential workers, you know. So.
He's such an idiot, bro. Like, what are you – oh, my God. He's so embarrassing. He is so embarrassing.
Yeah, that was my joke for the Murphy. But again, we are ready to get started. Guys, I was going to say it's a privilege. Good night, Marcia. It's a privilege to share the field of battle with you guys. This is the last show of 2020, apparently, right?
It's like we're taking the night off next week. And, man, we can say sign off for this crazy year. But before we do that, as we always like to do, let's check in with the fellas, going around the room, around the horn, if you will. Like Rob said, JQ was probably on cloud nine. It seems sporting the Bengals. They whipped up on the Steelers. I mean, Ohio State barely beat Northwestern, but, you know, it's all good. And but other than that, you had a pretty good weekend. So, what's up, bro?
Yeah, I lost all my semifinals in my fantasy league, though, so I guess you got to take the winner with the sweet. But I'll take real football over fantasy football every day of the week. Yeah, it's been good for me. It's been into yesterday with my Buckeyes and my Bengals. Like when Trey Sermon, when you break Eddie George's all-time, not just a bowl rushing record, he broke the all-time Ohio State single game rushing record with that performance against Northwestern. You know, actually, I went to go play golf because I knew I was going to be an idiot. And for the first half, I was so glad I wasn't at home watching that game. I was watching on the golf cart, though. But Southern Leafs keep me somewhat occupied. But they did what they had to do. I know we're going to get into it. I just don't care. I mean, Notre Dame, how more people are mad at Ohio State than they are mad at Notre Dame being in is a little crazy to me. But we'll talk about that. What's going on with you, bro?
Yeah, we'll get into that too, man, because there's a lot of differing opinions about that. So we'll definitely talk about that. Rob Ford, man, the man of the hour. Man, how you feeling, sir?
Yeah, feeling great, man. I totally agree, man. How you get spanked in the ACC championship game, and then you get picked to go to the playoffs the next day is unbelievable. So, and all they're going to do is get the ass whipped again by Alabama. And we've seen that movie before. I mean, why they keep putting a team in the playoffs? You know, I mean, I don't think Texas A&M would have beat Alabama either, but hey, we've seen Notre Dame go to the playoffs time after time again. And lose by at least 28 points. And they're probably going to lose by 40 this time. I mean,
The only thing I think about – go ahead, JQ.
not going to say, I saw that Bama team firsthand on Saturday, and the defense gave up a little bit more to Kyle Trask than I thought, but, man, that offense is – I don't know how you stop all them dudes at the same time.
Yeah, they got to, you know
– good call.
When you talk about Najee Harris and then Devonta Smith and Mac Jones and then the offensive line, too. Right?
Mac Jones.
A couple first-rounders.
Yeah.
Potential first second rounders on that offensive line too.
They're ridiculous. They look the part. Like I was like, well, damn.
Yeah, they're ready to go. Curtis, how you feeling, sir?
Oh man, every day above ground is a good day. There's been some setbacks for me after the last show, and maybe when we get in overtime, I'll tell you guys about it. But I hope you guys were able to witness the Oregon game. And you're talking about some controversy. You know, Oregon's not even the best team in the state. They lost their rivalry game. But somehow they ended up in the championship, coronavirus championship. And they took it to USC. And it was a great game to see. Man, that defense played their butt off.
Beat the kids.
Oregon played
their
butt off.
Yeah.
And they're going to a bowl game, and they got some side stories on that bowl game they went to.
Yeah. I know. The running joke was, hey, Oregon didn't win the Pac-12 North, but they won the Pac-12 championship.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's COVID.
Yeah, Washington actually won the Pac-12 North and had to pull out of the game because of COVID reasons, obviously. And they put Oregon in the game. So Oregon didn't win their division, but they won the conference.
I don't think anyone can come on this year, guys. It's just been unbelievable for sure, man. So we're going to get this party started. Shout out to Gary. Like I said, Curtis, I think hopefully he said he's going to call in. But for those that are calling and want to chime in with your boys, always reach out to us via the number, which is the PIN number every single show. I like to throw it out there, obviously. It's the 424-243-9519. Follow us on the Twitter, as the kids say, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports12man or 12man sports, you will find us in that arena as well. So, guys, we've got a lot of things to talk about, just going to really quickly talk about I know Marcy was yelling and we were excited about watching Golden State, but it's going to be a long season. It's going to be a long season for Georgia. I know it's still your team, babe. It's going to be a long season for Golden State because, again, you're realizing how Steph can't do it by himself. Wiseman, kind of young. Wiggins is no Klay Thompson. Kelly Oubre is actually playing surprisingly well, but other than that, it's just going to be a long season, man. So just brace yourself.
Kyrie Irving was a beast tonight, and I got to give him credit.
Say it again, Rob?
Kyrie Irving was a beast tonight. I got to give him credit.
He was. And Durant played well, too. So, again, that's just there's two different directions right now, too. So, again, Steph can't carry the team totally by himself. Draymond was out. So it's going to be a long year for Golden State. So, unfortunately, they may be picking in the lottery next year, too. I don't know. We'll see. But Wiseman did actually look pretty good. So, again, I think he's just too young. But, it's good for him to kind of do his thing and do what he's supposed to do, make some rebounds, block some shots, get some good shots, and go from there. So that's my quick recap for that.
You look at what happens with it. Steph is a two-time MVP, and again, they're still on this much lower without Klay. But he better get that team into the playoffs. Even if they make it as the AC, he better get that team into the playoffs and justify some of that being a two-time MVP because you're going to get Draymond back, and you figure that Wise is going to come along, and you're going to get, like I said, Uber is playing better. And Wiggins not horrible, but he's no Klay, to your point. But if Steph is that guy, he's a two-time MVP, and everybody keeps telling us he's that guy. He better get the boys into the playoffs.
Yeah, the West has gotten stronger there too, though, JQ, so that's a tough thing. So, but
I watched Dame do a report.
Playoff team right now without Draymond Green. they're somewhere between a 7 and a 10, in my opinion, this year without Klay Thompson, right? I mean, but as JQ pointed out, you still got Draymond Green. You got a young potential star in Wiseman. You got, you know, a decent athlete in Wiggins and Kelly Oubre. And, we've seen LeBron take teams to the playoffs with less talented teams. We've seen Antetokounmpo take teams to the playoffs with less talented teams. So, yeah, this is going to really show us what kind of team or what kind of leader Steph Curry is, right? Can he take the less talented squad? He don't have Durant. He don't have Klay Thompson. But he still has some decent pieces there. Not championship pieces, obviously, but you still got an all-star in Draymond Green. You have a guy, in my opinion, that should be an all-star. He just hasn't reached that level yet, is Andrew Wiggins. And then, like I said, you know, Wiseman and Kelly Oubre. You got some decent pieces there.
Decent pieces, yeah.
Yeah, and we can move to the next one. But you talk about that Clippers team pre-Paul George and Kawhi. They just were some scrappy dudes that's out the way to get into the playoffs and gave Golden State all they wanted in that series before Golden State finally put them away. So that's why I say if you've got a two-time MVP on that team and all those pieces we just talked about, you better get in the playoffs, bro. Or it's going to be a serious indictment on Steph Curry going into next season. I'm just telling you, no expectations to win it. He has no expectations to win it. But as a two-time MVP with enough pieces to be competitive around you, if you're that guy and you're a two-time MVP, you got to get that team into the playoffs, even if it's just the A seed. That, to me, is, I would say, okay, Steph.
Well, where I'm at, you know, there's no love lost there. They put us out of the playoffs enough times over the past that we would love to have the chance to put them right the hell out of the playoffs.
You may have the opportunity.
You know, maybe Damian can do something to make everybody stop talking about Steph and start thinking about Damon. And that's what I'm looking forward to this year, especially as it pertains to Golden State. Damian needs to show his dominance over the Splash Brothers, and this is his opportunity.
Splash Brothers. Yeah, you're thinking that. I do wonder that, you know, about the psyche of Steph too, because I'm sure he came in thinking that, you know, Klay was going to be there, and then obviously he's not there too. So, like I said, I mean, obviously, Rob, you're correct in that, you know, he does have Draymond. You know, obviously, we want to see what Wiggins is. Wiggins, we can wait for Wiggins for a minute. He's got the talent. He's clearly athletic and whatnot too. He just hasn't put it together. Like I said, Oubre's playing really well. He actually may be the second piece, and then obviously Wiseman, you know, he's going to develop, so they have some time. And then, you know, whenever Klay gets injured at the beginning of the season, it's just probably has a look for the psyche of the team too. So, you know, again, we'll see, JQ. We'll see if he can somehow put him on the back and like you said, you know, at least get into the 8 seed, because like you said, I agree with you, Rob, 7-10, it's tough. West is still getting stronger, and you know, obviously the Lakers, you know, they've got some good pickups, and we'll talk about that too as well. The Clippers, their disappointment, and you got Utah. I mean, it's going to be an interesting season to say the least, too, as well. Go ahead, Rob. So
Lakers have been cutting this lead to 2 points at halftime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they actually have come back. Okay, look at that. Go ahead, Rob. Talk about some NBA predictions, if you will.
Well, I know we talked a little bit about that. I know we didn't go very in-depth in all of the visions and things of that nature on last week, but I know we talked about it briefly. And I stand by my Lakers and 76ers prediction. I know the Sixers may be in the James Harden conversation, but I'm even predicting them even if they don't get James Harden. I think the element of Doc Rivers, the biggest piece, when you go back and look at the Sixers team last year and they got swept in the first round by the Boston Celtics, they just didn't have enough shooters on the team. They shot like 20-something percent from the three-point range, and it really killed them, right? And now, you know, getting the additions of players like Danny Green, a guy like Shake Milton who's stepping up to the plate now. They got a few more shooters. Corksman can come off the bench and shoot the ball as well. So they got some guys that can really shoot the basketball this year, and I think it's going to really help Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris, right? You know, they gave up, you know, Al Horford really just gets some more shooting on the ball club. They had too many bigs. And so I really like what they did. I still think the Bucks will be the number one seed in the East, but I think they'll fall out in the playoffs again. I like the Sixers and the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think the Bucks get upset again in the playoffs. But I like the Sixers and the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm going to go with the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. I know we were looking for that on last year, but I'm going to go with the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals this year. When you look at some of the things that the Clippers have even done this offseason, Luke Kennard gives them another score. You know, a guy that averaged about 15, 16 points a game last year with the Pistons. You get another defensive presence player and Serge Ibaka as well. So I like some of the moves. They still have some decent depth, even though they lost some players. So I'm going to go that this – hey, we got Paul George out of the bubble, so you can only expect him to play better. You know, he was horrible in that bubble last year, right? And so now you're getting one of your elite players back into a normal routine. So I'm going to go with the Clippers and the Lakers. But you still got to watch the Nuggets, obviously. You still got to watch the Trailblazers. You still got to watch the Jazz as well. So, I mean, but you still got to watch Phoenix Suns, too, right? You know, Chris Paul, leader in the area. With them. Devin Booker is probably the best NBA player currently that hasn't made it to the playoffs. And so, I mean, you know, getting a guy like Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton. But I'm going to say Lakers, Clippers in the West. Sixers, Nets in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I can't go with the Suns because Chris Paul is going to get hurt, and there will be no 5-month break like he had last year to do what he did in the bubble with OKC. Yeah, I think Chris Paul is a fantastic player, but I think at this point, if you watch it, every time in the playoffs when it's money time, he blows a hammy, hurts his hand, you know, he sprains an ankle. Maybe this is the year that he gets over that, but until I see it, I can't bank on it. I can't predict on it, me personally. I really think the Nuggets were a year or two too early. And they just ran into a Clippers team that I think was imploding from within, and they took full advantage. You got to give them credit for taking full advantage. But they won't sneak on anybody again this year. I think teams will be ready for them. And I think some of that euphoria making it that far and the expectations may weigh on those young guys just a little bit. They take a little bit of a step back. And I think, you know, with Paul George and Kawhi getting that money, I mean, if not now, when? You know, none of this matters, not even tonight. Even if they win, it's just game one. Nothing matters for the Lakers or the Clippers if and when they meet again in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals, that is, for the right to go to the NBA Finals to settle that score on both sides. Mm-hmm. Well, you won it last year, but we didn't play you, yada, yada, yada. So I think it's the Lakers and the Clippers. I like those other teams. I like them to be good, you know, in the West. I like them to be good regular season teams. But when they have to face the Clippers or the Lakers, and my dark horse is Dallas because I like Luka. I like Luka. I think he's got enough to carry if they can get KP healthy to give them a more solid 1-2 punch. As I go to the East, I told you last week, I think the Nets are going to be the one seed. And nothing that I've seen in those final preseason games and what they did tonight, just, you know, immediately a shorthanded Golden State team. KD and Kyrie are just who they are. And when they're healthy, God bless. And you talk about a team that before they got those two, got to the seventh seed, I think, in the East. And you're like, they've got enough pieces to where they can go deep. And you bring Caris LeVert now as a Ginobili or whatever, you know, sixth man off the bench. And he's probably going to play in crunch time. You know how that goes. I just think they're going to be really ridiculous. The Allen and
Astro
DeAndre
man
Jordan.
And DeAndre Jordan.
They got a squad. And if they
and
can
Jerry
figure
Allen
out not
too?
To have what happened to the Clippers happen to them, because that's what I talked about earlier. The Clippers, before they got George and Kawhi, was a scrappy team, made the 7th seed, gave Golden State all they wanted. You bring in the two stars, and those dudes that were holed over were like, well, we ain't chopped liver. We made the playoffs without these two. How they make sure they mesh that and keep that with Kyrie's crazy ass, and they keep that together in that locker room is, I think, the only thing that can derail the Nets, because talent-wise, they're ridiculous. And then outside of that, I do like what the Sixers have done. I agree with you. I think the Bucks are going to fold again because I just think that's what they do. I like Holiday. I don't think he's enough. I told you before when Chris Middleton got that contract, the Bucks GM was going to rue the day that he put that much money on Chris Middleton because he's an all-star, but he's not a superstar getting superstar money. He's going to hamstring their ability to do things to manage to get pieces around Giannis. I also, you know, I hate Boston, but that Boston young core, I think it's pretty good. Just depends on whether Tatum and Brown get that killer instinct. But I'm going to go with the Heat and the Knicks and the Nets. I'm going to go with the Heat and the Nets. That, the culture that Miami has, and you look at all those young guys, Kendrick Nunn can just score the ball. Duncan and Hero can just shoot the ball. Butler is an alpha dog. You know, Dragic is a very crafty scorer in his own right, and you just get Bam his money. Bam is the heart and soul of that team. That Miami team just has that grit. And you don't want to face them in the playoffs because they're never going to go away. They're going to be in your chest as much as they can be on defense. So I'm going to go with the Heat and the Nets in the Eastern Conference, but I agree with Rob in the West, the Clippers and the Lakers.
Well,
yeah, you mentioned that Dallas team. You hit it on the head with the Porzingis piece. It's going to all come down to his health. And that's what scares me about the Dallas Mavericks and why it's kind of hard to really put him in that top four. But if he's healthy, Luka Doncic is the real deal, MVP candidate this year as well. So, I mean, he's the real deal, has the potential to be the best player in the game, but it's going to come down to KP and his health if they're going to shine at all for any chance for them. And Boston, you know, do they lose much without Gordon Hayward, right? You know, you had four guys. You had Kemba Walker, you had Jaylen Brown, you had Jason Tatum, and you had Gordon Hayward. Now you lose Gordon Hayward. Now you're down about three stars. Do they lose much from Gordon Hayward? That's the question mark for me with the Celtics.
Well, what I think in the East, I don't trust Kyrie to make it through the season, and I don't trust Embiid to make it through the season. I don't know if they're going to try to do load management, and I hate that word, and I hate that thought.
So do I.
But, yeah, these guys haven't proven to me, Kyrie or Embiid, that they are tough enough to get through a season. And when they derail, their teams are going to derail. But I like that thought of Miami being a better team, a gritty team. And I do like the idea of Boston and them getting more and more mature to where they can compete. And I didn't think Milwaukee got better. I didn't think Milwaukee got better with their trades and what they did. I didn't see it. So for me coming out of the East, Brooklyn might have a shot, but I think it's going to be Boston and Miami. And in the West, I am – The team that scares me the most out here is Denver with their point center and some of those young guys they got, big guys and big guys that can shoot. This is a cardio and hit those shots at a high level league. Hit your shots at a 45% level and run up and down that court. And I don't know a team that does that better than the Denver Nuggets. Every one of them, you know, just shoot and sometimes shoot the lights out. They're gonna be hard to get out of going to the finals. But LeBron is still the monster. He's still the man out here. So I think it's gonna be Denver and LeBron coming out of the West.
Cool. Okay. Good stuff. JQ, is LeBron going to get another ring this season, if you will?
Ooh, man. Well, you know the homer in me is going to say yeah, just off rip. you know I'm going to say yeah. But in all honesty, he said this last one was the hardest one because of the bubble and all the challenges. Given the way everybody's being retooled, and we're talking about with the expectation of everybody remaining healthy throughout the season and throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, five.
This one might be the hardest one because you're going to have a Clippers team that's going to be chomping at the bit and ready to prove that last year they put that behind them. You saw this Nuggets team, like Curtis just said, take a leap last year and try to build upon that. And then you've got, you know, Phoenix getting better. You see Utah tie up their players, young guys, and Gobert and Mitchell. You see Portland trying to Tre Waters and stay in that conversation. That Western itself is going to be a beast. And you can, we talked about the East being all crazy and bad before. That conversation is not over. The East is the real deal as well. And if they mess around and have a good deal with that Nets team, if they can keep that together, because it's Kyrie, and I think we all know it, he's the wild card because he's got the potential to be the cancer. But if they can keep that thing going, what they have in terms of the supporting cast with Kyrie and KD, and then he has to go through the West and beat those two dudes after, you know, Kyrie talked junk about not having somebody he could trust to take the last shot until now, and then given what KD did against LeBron and then when he was with Golden State, if they navigate that road, to me, that would be his hardest one. He may not say that out loud, but I think it would be. I'm going to take him because I love, also like what the Lakers did, getting younger, getting more shooters, getting a little bit more athletic, getting a little more feisty, more energy. So I'm going to go with them for sure. So I think they're still the betting favorite, but ooh, it's going to be a tough road for sure. No cakewalk.
Gotcha. No cakewalk, yeah. Everyone's geared up.
Yeah, they're my pick to win the championship too. I think they are the odds-on favorites and the best team out there. You know, you mentioned Denver. You know, do you get that third superstar, Michael Porter Jr.? So that's going to be interesting to see, and that will make them a lot even stronger too. You know, he showed flashes on last year, right? Especially in the bubble. You know, does he take that leap into being a third All-Star? You know, we saw him coming out of high school. He was the number one overall recruit. Obviously got injured, so we didn't quite totally see it in college. But you knew the potential was there, right? So where does that take the Denver Nuggets? And as you mentioned, and if that's the case, JQ, then that's another stronger team out there in the Western Conference, along with the Clippers and all the other matches. But I think they're the pick to win the championship, and I do think he gets his fifth ring this year.
You got Curtis, and we just got Naj on too, so we'll let Naj get in here too as well.
Okay. Well, yeah, we got a long season, and you know, because of COVID, we're going to get a lot of curves, and we're going to get some surprises. But LeBron looks like he's on a mission, and that's important. And nobody like LeBron can keep a team focused. I'm seeing that of LeBron. He seems to be that guy that can keep a team focused. And the guy in Miami, he's another guy that seems to be able to keep the whole team focused.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, Jimmy Butler. Naj, what's up, Naj? What you got, man?
Speak of the devil and he shall appear.
I've been watching that name
is crazy, bro. Now's not the time for fear, man. Doctor. That comes later. Shout out to Bane. But yeah, what's going on, y'all?
What's going on, man?
You missed the line whenever he's in an airplane. He's like, what happens if I pull the mask? It'll be very painful for you.
It's my man.
That's some fun stuff. Oh, man. We're just getting a quick recap as far as everything, some predictions here, as far as the NBA and what happened. It looks like if you want to jump into that, that's the last topic, and then we're going to definitely move over to JQ's Pittsburgh Steelers here. But that's kind of what we were just wrapping up as far as. Do you want anything to say about the any NBA predictions here about LeBron winning a ring, and if you will?
Yeah, well, I won't go as far as championships just because, like, it's just so much unknown, like Gary just said, with COVID and everything else, scheduling, the Lakers coming back real fast, not having time to rest. Like, so much can happen by the time we get to June or whatever. But, dude, I am going to enjoy the downfall of a dynasty, the end of the Golden State Warriors. Man, they might not win 40 games unless they make a big trade and get Wiggins or somebody the hell up out of there. Oh, I'm going to enjoy seeing some of these young point guards crack Steph's head wide open like Kyrie did tonight. I'm going to enjoy it. Because for the last few years, I had to watch people get
into
back-to-back
Andre's face right
MVPs
now, nah.
And tell me he's the best player in the NBA and all this stuff. Oh, no, I'm coming for Steph this year, man. It is going to be the most hate-filled NBA league pass watching of a team ever. I'm watching every game. I'm going to enjoy all of the downfall, bro. That's what I'm on this year. As far as Brooklyn,
I ordered the league pass too, man. I'm right there with you, Nas.
You are watching the LA Clippers of last year. They're more talented than everybody. They're deeper than everybody. But it's really hard to put all that together in one season. I think they end up disappointing and shocking everybody. So I'll be betting against Brooklyn all year as far as, you know, if I can get a good line for the playoffs. Not during the season, but just like the Clippers last year, when they run into a little adversity and you don't have that chemistry and that, you know, that muscle memory of working with guys and knowing what they're about, it typically takes a year, and then the next year you're ready. A la Miami, a la the Clippers this year. As you look at them right now, look a hell of a lot better, right? So, yeah, that's the team I'm definitely betting against is Brooklyn. But I'll be hate watching Golden State and the downfall.
Just whenever we thought we were cool, Nas, it's okay, man, you know, because, you know,
well, I mean,
Golden State
it's
over
cool.
Here, man, that's okay.
Look, I don't hate Steph, man. I love him, man. Steph's a good dude, but they were trying to act like Steph was better than Bron and better than KD and better than all these other people. And I'm like, look, if you ever get Steph out there without all the weapons, he going to find out what it's like to carry a team, and he ain't going to like it. We might see that man cut.
He's suggesting the NBA Finals MVP. Those three championships, he won Finals MVP.
You know, it's all good. I mean, you can pick all the shots. I mean, but I mean, in spite of everything, you do have to admit that he made an impact in the game. As far as, you know,
he's the greatest shooter of all time,
shooting threes and stuff like that. So again, you have to give him props.
Yeah, he's the greatest shooter of all time
game too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know,
I'm
not gonna tell that, but I am gonna say that.
No, he's the greatest shooter of all time.
He might not be the greatest shooter on his team.
No, come on, man.
Klay Thompson scored 30 points in a quarter. He dribbled the ball 5 times. Come on, man. You got to give Klay some credit. That boy can put the ball in the bucket.
Klay is a good player. Mark's
yeah.
a good player, too, by the way. But
all I can say now is if you were on Zoom, you would have been able to see the smoke coming from Andre's head while you were talking about Steph Curry. Yeah.
You think he the first Steph Curry fan I'm pissed off today? Sir, I've been celebrating
since the start of that game. I'm not pissed. I'm just kind of like, hey, it is what it is, man. So, you know. I'm pretty even killed with
you missed
not,
the
so
scene,
you,
man. You
like
see it all on camera.
Oh my goodness!
It's all good, man.
So it's all good as love, man. So let's talk. You know, especially during this holiday season here. So JQ, we're gonna switch gears here. We're gonna talk about the Steelers, and I guess this is gonna make it awesomer. I guess will the Steelers bounce back this season? We're gonna get Curtis in here too as well, because we definitely want to get his thoughts too. So I guess. You know, again, Nas, JQ was on cloud nine because the Bengals, like, what the hell just happened? Because we did not see that coming. Neither did Juju Schuster as well, man. He didn't know what the hell
happened. Shit, neither did JQ. Sorry.
You know what just happened. But he will never, ever be dancing on the B as well. And you kind of like that, this Bengals team, right? They're kind of, you know, Zach Taylor, okay, what's up? What say you about that, JQ?
He might have saved his job with that one because they had a lot of running straight to Pittsburgh. And they didn't look good in these upcoming weeks where they just didn't have any juice or any energy. But that fool Juju dancing on the logo and putting it on TikTok, and they tried to take his head off in Dallas, and Michael had to say, hey, bro, I'm going to need you to sit your young self down. Go look at some film before the game and stop dancing on the damn logo, bro. So you got a team that had nothing to lose, and you gave them motivation to defend their home turf when you do that. And it's already a rivalry game, so you can take those records and throw them out the window for the most part. When you got a heated rivalry like that, that's a fist fight. Like, when they play each other, like, people might get ejected. People might get their seasons ended in that Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game because it's just nasty. So, you know, I was excited for that to happen. You know, they made Ryan Finley look crazy. You know, then I give Zach Taylor a lot of credit. Putting in that read option when he hadn't shown that all year, you know, with Pittsburgh trying to dive down and put him in the corner and take his head off, that was a great wrinkle that he put in, and I didn't know Finley could really roll like that, but he showed me something. So I give him some credit. He still sucks, but he had the best game he's going to probably ever have against Pittsburgh. But I don't think Pittsburgh bounces back, and it's not just because they lost to Cincinnati. You look at them, and Rob has been talking about it for weeks. They can't run the ball, and you can't get in the playoffs. Even if you can play good defense, if you can't run the ball and you keep asking Ben to drop back, and you only get – an occasional big burst play from Snell, because I think Connor is done. I think he's shown that he was not the dude to replace Le'Veon, and Snell, I think, is going to take his job. So that's the one thing I don't think they bounce back from. And the other is just the injuries. You know, you lost Bud Dupree, you lost Bush, you lost Bush's backup. All those dudes that were not only defending the run but also able to get after the passer on the opposite side of White, where you just couldn't double-team him. Now you can give all your focus to White and then say, okay, if those other guys get through and beat me, so be it. If you watch that game, for the most part, that Bengals offensive line that's been terrible, got Burrow killed, held up, and let Finley have time in the pocket to make throws. They weren't always good throws, but he had time to at least make the throw. So if you, can't do that and get that across against the Bengals, can you do that against the Chiefs? You know what I mean? Can you do that against the Titans? Can you do that against the Ravens? You know what I'm saying? You can't. That's not going to work. That's why I was like, I don't think they're going to bounce back just due to the injuries and the fact they can't run the ball. Those are two things that it's real hard to have a 30-year-old quarterback who looks 38 right now out there trying to throw the ball and say, go on, get him killer in the playoffs. And this is not Steelers hate. I would say this about any other team that was 11-0 and then faced that rash of things and then ask them to bounce back. I just don't think it happens.
They were picking up quick routes, too, man. They were all every quick route. They were on it, man. He couldn't do anything. He was coming back. They were just on it, man. So great, great game. Go ahead, Rob.
And we've been talking about this, like you said, JQ, for the last few shows, that they right now they just can't run the ball offensively. And last night is actually a little bit better than what we've seen in the last few weeks. You know, Snell actually had like 80-something yards rushing, but he still didn't have the average that you're looking for versus the number of carries that he had. So it was better, but still not good enough, you know, from a statistical standpoint to get them over the hump. And, you know, like you said, Ryan Finley and Giovanni Bernard was able to run the football last night on their defense last night. So they did a phenomenal job. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. The Steelers won't win another game this season. And which means they're going to lose both of their last two regular season games, and they're going to be going
like
the first round of the playoffs. And here's the deal. They're going to be at home against the Colts this weekend. I think the Colts go in there and beat them. I really do. I mean, the Colts are a really good football team, and the Steelers are headed in the wrong direction right now. The teams are finding some holes in that defense. They can't run the football. They're one-dimensional. The offensive line is not holding up the way they were early in the season. And then I think Cleveland beats them in Cleveland. Cleveland wins the division end of the year. I think Cleveland beats them to play for the division title in Week 17. I think Cleveland beats them. Kevin Stefanski has been doing a phenomenal job. Even look at Baker Mayfield's number here the last 4 to 5 weeks. Very efficient. Not turning the ball over. You got some games with 23 out of 30, 2-3 touchdowns. They've been very efficient, and I like the Browns beating them. And then I think they lose in the wild card round. They're going to have to go on the road, and they'll be out. I don't think Steelers win another game this year.
Wow.
Yeah. You said it. It's one-dimensional. And in the NFL, when you're one-dimensional, you don't got a chance. And
sure it is.
They should address that. I don't know why Pittsburgh didn't address that. They needed a monster
injuries,
in
though.
That backfield.
Yeah,
but I'm going to talk about Pittsburgh and L.A. Just when you thought they might win that division. Wow. oops. And, yeah, like Rob just said, their next game is not going to be easy. It's not going to be a gimme. They probably will lose that game. And in L.A., this is Seattle's chance to bury them and win that division and stack up that playoff stack up, because that's what we're playing for now is playoff positioning. And that would be a shot in the arm for Cleveland to be a division winner and put themselves in a great playoff spot. So
you know Cleveland ain't gonna be Pittsburgh to win the division.
And I like Tomlin. And Tomlin,
I like Tomlin.
He let
you hate more,
get one dimensional and it's killing him.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
There it is.
You know why I say that? The same way that Nas talked about playoff P, like he got the retractable shoulder blade, I forget, and he was going to fold in the playoffs. Cleveland ain't gonna win no meaningful games to take the division from Pittsburgh. I will get on here and say how wrong I am if we get to week 17 and that's what's on the line. If that's what's on the line, I would bet on Pittsburgh to win that game. I'm going to need Cleveland to see it. The same way people outside of me would say, I need to see Cincinnati do it. You know Pittsburgh will do it. I got to see Baker Mayfield do it with everything to chip the middle of the table.
That's true. You got to prove it. They got to prove it. Yeah, go ahead, Nod, your thoughts, man. I'm with you, though. You got to prove it, Jake.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on Pittsburgh. I called this early. Basically, they had a really great defense. People got injured, and now you're seeing what they actually are. For some reason, people are trying to tie their success to Big Ben. They started trying to put him in the MVP race, and what they found out was what everybody in the league already knows. You run the Tom Brady script on him, baby. You get up, cover two, or cover one, bump and run. You play tight, and you force him to throw the ball deep down the field, which he, it appears, cannot do at the same rate he used to. So he's missing people. He's throwing hospital balls. Yeah, Juju got smacked on that play, but did you see the throw? Yeah, man, those hospital balls are bad for your health. Juju, he will learn. Or Big Ben is going to get him hurt. But
our boat.
He was waiting for him, though. He was waiting for him, man.
He looks washed. He looks really bad right now. So if they don't get some of these defenders back, and it looks like some of those injuries were significant, I'm with y'all. I think they do get an early exit from the playoffs, and all that 11-0 undefeated, all that stuff was for naught because it's an ugly season to go out like that way. And they're gonna have to think about a quarterback next year. You can't bring him back.
You know what you can do? You can bring him back. I think that's the last year his deal is next year. You can bring him back, but I'm with you. You bring that quarterback in, you say, oh, Big Ben, you're still like, God, we're going to get those guys back on defense. We're going to play good ball. And the moment that you have one or two bad games in the middle of the season and that playoff position don't seem right, Big Ben goes to the bench to be a mentor, bring the young guy in, and you move forward like that. That's how I think they do the change of the guard.
You know, Carson Wentz, man. I got you, man.
Yeah. Let the whole world see that he sucks, and then you bring in that dude, and everybody knows. So now Mike Tomlin don't look like a jackass for taking him out early and saying his career is over. You let the world see that he's over, and then you got the young guy ready behind him, and then you put him in, then everybody's like, great job, Mike Tomlin. You made the move when you were supposed to.
Yep.
It's there to be
happy. Yeah, you just start giving him stuff this summer. You give him the company watch. You tell him you're going to put him in the Ring of Honor. You start giving him stuff. You're shoving him out the door.
There it is.
Hey, Ben, you had a great career there, Ben.
Right.
So we're gonna move on. I'm going to let Rob take this first one because even though I know it's all about JQ, but, you know, we talked about, I know coming into the show I made a joke about Dwayne Haskins and the fact that they were essential workers, man, so give them credit. But, Rob, is Dwayne Haskins officially a bust? And he was already on a short leash as it was, and so now it's just not looking good. He's not making good decisions, man, even on and off the field. So, Rob, what say you? Is he officially a bust, if you will?
Wow. You hate to say this about a guy that's just his second year in the National Football League, right? But I don't see anything that shows that he's trending in the right direction, right? And nothing. I don't see anything positive from any performance he had early in the season, from any performance he had this weekend. And then, obviously, hanging out with JQ and nightclubs in D.C.
Wow.
Y'all Ohio State
brothers,
boy, I tell
you. Over bringing back shades of Akili Smith over here.
But no, I haven't seen anything. Sam Darnold shows something from time to time, right? So I'm not ready to put the buzzer on him yet. But I haven't seen nothing out of Dwayne Haskins, not to say that he's going to be a bust. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but yeah, you have to put the bust label on him. And I would be shocked if he's with the football team or whatever their new name is going to be next year. I'd be shocked if he's on that team next year or even in the NFL for that matter.
No, I would agree. And we talk about it, a black quarterback is going to have a shorter leash. They'll give Johnny Manziel 18 chances, but, you being Dwayne Haskins, a black quarterback in this league, I agree with you. He may not be in the league next year, and if he is, he's definitely holding the clipboard. He's going to need somebody stronger in his life. And maybe he needs to be away from Washington because he's a kid that is from Maryland and grew up there, and now he's sending back to his hometown team. And he just is making horrible decisions. And it's like, come on, bro. When they tell you the worst thing they can say about you as a quarterback is that you're not putting in the time to study your craft, to be the first one in the building and the last one out. That was the knock on him. That's part of the reason why he got demoted. And that's part of the reason why his play was so bad. He wasn't putting in the time to spend more time with wide receivers outside of McLaurin, who he knows from Ohio State. He's not studying defenses enough. He's not, you know, trying to get as much information he can get in those hours every day and maximize it. He was like, oh, shit, 5 o'clock? Got time to go get this south and see these girls. Like, you can't do that as a starting quarterback for any of the franchises. And so you get demoted, and then you come back, and Alex Smith gets hurt, and you get a chance to go back in, and your defense is carrying you.
The thing
you do is you go out, and these chicks is wearing your jersey at the strip club. It's like, come on, man. What are you doing? You're supposed to be studying. You are getting a second opportunity in the year that you got benched.
Yeah.
Please take advantage of it. And he said, no, bro, I got to go make these dollars rain. And it's like, if that's what your mind is, you're not going to make it. So I'm going to go ahead and call him a bust. You know, that hurts my heart. But like you said, when you get the second chance, what you going to do with it? And he went to the strip club with a second chance. And now he's done. Because with COVID protocols, he can't play at least this week. He'll probably get benched or fined or suspended for the other one. It's like, it's disappointing. I didn't know he was that ignorant. And that's the only way to describe it. Just pure ignorance.
Well, you know, a grown man with some money and how they mature. And this guy didn't mature. He's an idiot. And he doesn't realize what this means. I mean, he messed this up. He could be underneath a bridge in a year or two and say at once he's going to be that guy that says, I was a star at one time. Now
man.
I got.
You call him Delonte West?
Yeah, I.
Delonte West. Yeah.
And
wow.
I'm still thinking about Jameis Winston, too. These two brothers, man.
It's a
serious sport. And you got to take it serious and you got to be focused. And if you
get Andy Dalton five jobs, but you know.
They gave Johnny Manziel every chance in the book. That's not going to happen for him. And you got to know that. And I don't know who's in his ear, but he need to get rid of all them people.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Y'all got to pump the brakes, man. So, is he done in Washington? Yes. He was done in Washington before last game, before the strip club incident. Rivera saw the cut of his chin and said, nah, this ain't for me. This ain't the kid I'm tying my wagon to. So he was already going to be out of there no matter what. So that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The main point is he's going to get a Jameis Winston-type minimum league deal and go to another team. And that's when the opportunity to become a bust or NFL quarterback is going to exist for Dwayne Haskins. As of right now, no, I can't say he's terrible enough to where he shouldn't be in the league. I think at this point, Terry McLaurin is the only person on their team that's happy to see him because when Alex Smith pop gun arm is in the game, Terry can't get the ball.
Damn right.
Dwayne's the only one who can get it to him. So that's the only person who likes him. And, the decision was stupid, short-sighted, and put everything in jeopardy. So, he definitely messed himself up. But, no, I don't think it's over. I don't think he's a bust yet. I think you got to see him go somewhere where somebody actually wants him and see if he can turn into something. Because this year in Washington was basically a lost year. Rivera didn't want him. He inherited him. He tried to play Kyle Allen over him. And once you decide you're going to play Kyle Allen over somebody, that means you hate their guts. So the time in Washington was over no matter what. You know what I mean? So I say another shot on a minimum deal. And at that point, bust him out. So we'll see, man.
But the thing about that is, Winston and Lee had thrown for, 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. Like, threw 30 interceptions, don't get me wrong. But at least he had put $5,000 and 30 touchdowns in the stat book. Dwayne Haskins ain't even getting close to that. The worst thing they could say about you as a quarterback, even if you party, is that you don't have the work ethic. When they say they want you to be there, the first dude in, the last dude out. When they say that about you, I get it. And that's why Rivera looked at him like that. But I feel like if that's the problem that Rivera, who's respected, has with you, having the other coaches are going to say, I'm willing to take a chance on a dude that like that, who I have to instill the work ethic in and has all the talent, but he don't want to be in the building. And as a black dude, that's going to be hard to overcome. Like, I didn't hear that about James.
Right.
He's an idiot. He might make bad decisions on the field. But, you know, he wasn't really out there in Tampa just going ham like Dwayne is doing. That's what I heard of. So
Just be careful. Just be careful of believing rumors about the person who's unpopular in the building. Hey, let me give you a hint. We're going to get some rumors similar to that about Carson Wentz in the next couple of weeks. Okay? Like, when you are not liked in a building, all of a sudden people start talking to writers and they paint this ugly picture of you. So I wouldn't put too much in there. Dwayne doesn't study and doesn't do all
that. That happened about Carson before last year.
Yeah,
that happened before this year. There were stories about people not liking Carson Wentz last year, I think the year before last. So that's not this year is not a new thing about that. So those problems about Carson was already out there.
No, I'm just saying you'll see the work ethic stuff. You'll see some of that stuff. That's usually how you smear somebody on the way out. But I'm just saying,
that's true.
I mean, slow to believe some of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a balance, though, because, like I said, it is tough because, you know, like, it's not like he was, like, lighting up, as JQ said. So, you know, if you're not lighting up, you shouldn't be going to strip club, number one. I mean, that's just, I mean, I don't care if you're blowing off steam, but you should be like, yo, I'm getting this opportunity, you know.
Bring him to the house.
I need to be here. Right. Just do it, like, keep that ish, like, to yourself. Don't let anybody know what's happening. And he, like, party like he's, like, you know, like he's doing some things, and he's not. So, number one, this is your opportunity. Number two, you're not playing well. You know what I'm saying? So, you are not doing anything like Jake. You're an idiot, man. You're not seasoned. And then sometimes it's, you know, you're young, like you said. You just don't know. But it's a very thin line. So, if he needs to have somebody in his camp, like, yo, you know, you need to, like, step it up, especially if you're really serious about your career. So, that's just my two from that, too. So,
plus, he's got
to make a roster.
Just pay
now.
That dude to go bring the chicks back to the house. Like, we ain't going out.
A guaranteed job. Like, he has to make a roster. That's what I'm saying.
Sure indeed. Sure indeed. We with you. We got about 9 minutes here left in the show here. And we're going to ask really quickly what's been happening with the NFC East race. I'm going to start with Curtis here. And what do you think about what's happening with that race? It's causing kind of the NFL to kind of shuffle that week 16, if you will, too. So, I don't know if you heard about that, Curtis, as well.
And the NFL East, how ugly.
The least.
How ugly. But I want to say, how about them Cowboys? 2 days in a row.
Yeah,
which doesn't mean a thing, you know, if it ain't got that swing. It's going to be interesting. The Giants got a shot. The Giants should win this division.
Eagles, what the hell happened?
They should win this division. But it's no telling which idiot is going to end up winning this division. This is awful. This ain't fun. The only thing I do know, I don't think the Cowboys are going to win this division. I don't think so. No, the Cowboys still ain't going to win this division. I think it's going to be the Giants. And that's going to be our best representative out of the NFL East. And this is the division that was able to beat Tom Brady twice.
Defense, though, but still.
And
this
year, everybody's forgetting that this division this division beat Tom Brady three times in Super Bowl. Not this year.
Yeah. Eagles getting a shot in the arm with Jalen, too. Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
I think it's the football team. If the football team could get just some decent quarterback play, they'll win the division because of their defense. They're outstanding on that defensive front that they have. Is unbelievable. Martez Sweat, Chase Young, they got Ryan Kerrigan. Yeah. That defensive front seven is phenomenal. And they got some pieces in the secondary, too. Ron Rivera and that team, that staff has done a phenomenal job. I think Jack Del Rio is the defensive coordinator there. And they've done a phenomenal job. They can get some decent quarterback play. They should win that division. Now, the NFL adjusted the Redskins and Carolina game to 4 o'clock this Sunday. And the reason why they made that adjustment is the Eagles and the Cowboys also playing in the 4 o'clock window. And if the football team beats Carolina in the 1 o'clock window, then the Eagles and the Cowboys will be eliminated. And so the NFL wanted that game to be meaningful, so they moved the Washington game so they can play at the same time, which is smart, obviously, right? Good business decision by the NFL and Hitler. But, you know, they moved the game back just so it can be just to make the Eagles and Cowboys game meaningful with them playing at the same time. But I still like the football team in the division.
I do too. Well, it's predicated on if Alex Smith comes back, and I know that's the crazy shit to say of all time that we're making this on Alex Smith, but that's where we are with the NFC East. Because real quiet life, we talked about them not maybe winning five games as a division winner. Washington can mess around and finish 8-8. Alex Smith wasn't playing over the top, but he was playing steady, and he was able to keep them out of ridiculous situations where their defense could impact and give him a short field. Carolina can be beat, especially if McCaffrey doesn't come back. I don't know why you bring McCaffrey back if you're Carolina anyway. And then they play the Cowboys, I think, in Week 17. So those are two games for me. If you get Alex Smith back to playing just game manager football with that defense, they play the Eagles? I thought they played Washington.
I think, yeah, they've already beat the Cowboys twice.
Oh, did they? Okay, let me look at that again. Eagles, yes, the Eagles. That was a little tougher because Jalen Hurts is actually playing good ball. So maybe adjust that to 7-9. But they could still win that division at 7-9 if they get Alex Smith back playing decent football. He doesn't have to be crazy. He's just got to be Trent Dilfer and let that defense do what it does and get a short field and win some ugly games. And that's just their recipe for success is to win ugly, physical, defensive games. So I like Washington out of that division as well.
Yeah. I agree.
Nosh.
Yeah, like we said all year, the winner of the NFC East is actually the loser because that means the rest of the division gets better picks than you. And you just get your head cracked in a playoff game that you don't deserve. So, yeah, the loser of the NFC is going to be Washington or Philly. I think you guys are making the solid pick in Washington in that you can't expect Jalen to keep up this level of play throughout the rest of the season to carry Philly
that
over the line. Because of what they're behind the game, right? Yeah, that's a tall order right there. So, yeah. I'm with y'all. I think Washington can get it done if you can get Alex and that Tootsie Roll leg back out there. But Philly would actually present a problem to where they could, like, of course, they're not going to go far, but they could actually win a game in the playoffs. And that's the only thing I can say.
You said that Tootsie Roll leg?
Yeah, it is a fake leg. Come on, man. You know that leg ain't real.
No.
Oh, my God.
Flying behind that boy when he's walking out of practice.
I can't stand you.
Jalen's playing well, but like I said, eventually the Jalen
was actually better this past
him.
Week than he was against the Saints.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think the thing they're going to get some film on them is the thing. So, you know, eventually they're going to try to figure out how this end of season he is going to have to adapt for sure, you know. But like I said, he's definitely given, as you said, Rod, you know, playing well, and he's given the Eagles a definite shot in the arm, if you will. So the loser is actually the winner of the division, man. And Alex with you. So, hey, Rob, we got about 2 minutes here. Let's go ahead and get ready to – I was getting ready to play the music because I'm tripping out here, and we'll get ready to talk about some snubs, if you will, for the Pro Bowl, and then we'll talk about some – we'll get into our fantasy shout-out here before we wrap this up, if you will. So go ahead with that.
Yeah, let's see. I have a list of snubs. I'll start with the Atlanta Falcons, Calvin Ridley. And
thank you.
How does he not make the Pro Bowl? I know the record isn't that great, but I mean, the dude has been outstanding. Another outstanding season, almost uncoverable. How does Calvin Ridley not make the Pro Bowl this year? Jordan Poyer, safety from Buffalo, outstanding year, has been a big key clog in that defense for Buffalo. He was another one. Patriots cornerback J.C. Jackson, 8 INTs this year. Opponents' quarterbacks have a 52 passer rating when they throw to his side of the field. How does he not make the Pro Bowl? I know the Patriots are 6-8, but how does he not make the Pro Bowl? Running back James Robinson, Jacksonville, undrafted rookie, third most efficient runner in the game this year. On a bad team again. I know they might have a lot to do with it.
There it is.
A couple of Saints. DeMario Davis has been outstanding at the linebacker position for the Saints. And helping revitalize that defense, not in the Pro Bowl. Defensive end Trey Hendrickson for the Saints is tied for the Aaron Donald for sacks in the NFL with 12.5 sacks, a phenomenal year by Trace Henderson. And how does Andrews Pete get to another Super Bowl, I mean another Pro Bowl for the Saints? He has been awful this season. He's getting their own reputation. He has been terrible. And even Sean Payton called him out in the press conference and said he's got to play better. And, how does he get to a Pro Bowl? Robert Tonyan, tight end for Green Bay, was another one, too. And I think the biggest nub is DeForest Buckner, the defensive tackle on the Colts. He has been – he's totally revitalized that defense in Indianapolis.
Yep.
I think the one or two games he missed was, you know, was their worst performance on the defensive side of the football. He's been phenomenal for that defense this year. So I don't know if you guys have any other names. That's a list that I kind of put together, some of the biggest – in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, now I think it's a popularity contest. I mean, it's good for your contracts. I know everybody's got those incentives written in it for them. But in terms of judging a player and how good I think they are, I stopped paying attention to it because people start opting out and you get to like the fifth or sixth alternate and you can claim a Pro Bowl selection based off that. So to me, it's like I said, it's just a popularity contest. Are you the cool kids in school? And especially if you play on a bad team in a small market, they're going to not give you no attention anyway. So and to me, it is what it is. It sucks for those dudes. I think that top 100 list that the NFL puts out where the NFL players vote on it themselves and they rank them based off that, that's the one I pay more attention to what their peers say about each other as opposed to, you know, dudes that might not even be watching games. Like you said, name recognition, you write them in. So I pay that Pro Bowl no matter.
Evan Eaton in the Pro Bowl with 2 touchdowns and Robert Tonyan didn't get in with 10 touchdowns.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I think it is a popularity contest, and I think it is big market versus small market. Like JQ said, I look at what the players say and what I see when I look at football, and it's amazing. But I grew up with a terrible team in Denver with Floyd Little, and Floyd Little always being an all-pro. And that was for me as a kid, that was a wonderful thing for me to see, is to be going to Denver Bronco games with Floyd Little and seeing how hard they worked to get him to be the awesome football player that he was. And, of course, that was a small market team. And as kids, and we, wherever we're at, and we can lock on to people that we think are special. That's a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, y'all said everything, man. Yeah, a whole lot of bias, a whole lot of ridiculous ideas about who should be in the Pro Bowl. Everybody y'all listed, I think, is the correct answer as opposed to the people who got in. And I don't know, man. At a certain point, do we really care? But I know the players do because it affects their money and it affects, like, when they're done, how they're looked at afterwards. So I think people should take it a little more seriously, man, and stop just voting for your team and media people voting for people who they like as opposed to people who they don't like. Like, yeah, that stuff's got to go. Like, you got to do a little – you got to clean up the process so we can get better results here. Because, yeah, Tonyan, Evan Engram, that one is crazy. Jefferson over Calvin Ridley. Yeah, that is insane. I know you want to reward the rookie for playing good, but Calvin has played better. He deserves it. He's the vet. Why the hell would you tip the scale to the rook? Like, that's insane. But, yeah, man, this is the NFL. Raggedy as always. Sloppy as always.
Raggedy and sloppy. Hey, Rob, let's do this finish shout-out real quick, sir.
All right. Let me grab my notes here. All right, fantasy shout-outs as we move on to the championship round. In all four of our leagues, let's see here. Okay. All right, league number one, Andre's team had the biggest win of the week, straight cash homie, 178.92 over Shock the System, 146.54. My team, Death Valley, the highest remaining seed, left at 10-4. League number two, my team, Black Lives Matter, had the biggest win of the week, 188.16 over the Pellies, 104.78. Mark in New Orleans, his team, the highest ranked team left, Boxcar Willie at 11-3. Let's see, the biggest win of the week in league number three was Chester in New Orleans. The team with the biggest win, Kraken, 144.74 over the Kings team, 91.58. My team, the highest team left in the system, 10-5.
Wow.
League number four, my team had the biggest win of the week, Flash Forward, 167.10 over Baby Got Backfield, 102.10.
Yeah, they had a log in.
And my team, the highest remaining team left at 12-3. And those are the fantasy shout-outs for the week. And we just started fantasy basketball, too, with tonight being opening night as well. So we'll start.
We ain't going to tell Rob nothing next week. This might get out of hand. We might not be able to tell Rob nothing next week. We're going to have to just not meet him. We ain't got to talk to him. Yes. Hell yeah,
yeah.
No call next week.
So we have
a you in all the finals? You in four finals?
Huh?
You in four finals?
I'm in five leagues, and I'm in the championship in four leagues.
Wow.
I'm
good stuff.
Four out of the five. But I'm due. I haven't won a title in a couple of years.
Yeah. This will be the first year I would not have won a title.
Yeah, but I'm in five leagues, and I'm playing in four championships this weekend.
Golf clap. That's good stuff.
So,
if you don't get, if you don't get one,
I got to bring them all home. I won't be happy unless I win all four.
See, that's ridiculous.
Bring it all home. Hey, we're going to talk about this. Hopefully Nas can jump on here, too, because I know, Nas, you don't really like watch a lot of college stuff. But hopefully you're paying attention to what's happening right now, too, as far as we do want to talk about what's happening with the hate here, like the Texas A&M playoff beef with Ohio State and Notre Dame. So we're going to let JP talk about that. We're going to talk about they're going to get beat pretty much if Notre Dame's in the college football playoffs. What I will say is, and I think, and I'm playing the advocate, if you will, too, because, you know, I don't like hate like that as well, but I'm just saying, so the thing that I say that most people are talking about Ohio State is that they only played like six games, right? That's the biggest thing they're talking about. They only played six games. Notre Dame has played more. Again, Ohio State is definitely better than Notre Dame. I get that. But that's the beef that everyone's saying. I mean, at least if you're saying that Texas A&M, at least we have a legitimate shot because we lost to Alabama. But again, that's why everyone's like, damn it, you know, they only played six games, you're already in it, you know, and everyone, and we get it, though. Everyone, you know, they're a blue blood, you want to see Ohio State, don't want to see damn Notre Dame, if you will. That's some, you know, bullshit. But that's the argument I think everyone, if you want to kind of like peel the layers and not, you know, have the Ohio State, you know, glasses on. But, you know, again, that's kind of where I think a lot of beef is coming from that perspective, too. So what say you on that?
Well, the thing about it is, okay, let's just clear it with, you know, Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina. They would get the brakes beat off of them, and they sent the thing
that's
out with us today, like, oh, anybody want to go to the Cincinnati-Georgia game at 12 o'clock on New Year's Day? Shit, no. For what reason? I'm be hungover. You want me to go drive downtown and watch Cincinnati get the doors blown off by Georgia? No, thanks. So, I mean, I think they just got to start coming to the point where they say, you know what, we're going to give y'all – they need to have their own championship. Just have the Power Five and the Group of Six have their own championships, because they're never going to put a Group of Six team in unless they go completely ham with the recruits and get some crazy coach to where they raise their cachet up in 1 year where they take them seriously. They're not going to take them seriously. It took BYU a long time to get – not BYU, Boise State a long time to get into some of those bigger bowl games. And I just don't think that's ever going to happen for Cincinnati. I don't think it's going to happen for Coastal Carolina or UCF. I just don't see the committee valuing who they're playing. And these big boys ain't going to play them because they've got nothing to gain and everything to lose. So just let them have their own championship. So if you take them out of it, you've got a whole bunch of now two and Florida with three losses sitting in there. Texas A&M being upset with Ohio State, I get it. The Big Ten effed Ohio State. What is Ohio State supposed to do about that? They're supposed to break away from the league and just start doing their own thing? That's not going to happen. You see them, when they can't throw, they can run the ball. Defenses play better. I honestly don't think – I don't understand why people are so high on Notre Dame. They played the same team twice. They played them the first time when their quarterback was hurt, and they won in double overtime, but they had to go into double overtime with a freshman quarterback filling in for Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence comes back, and they beat the brakes off of Notre Dame. So if you're really looking at that, do you think Notre Dame wins that first game against Clemson and Trevor Lawrence plays in it? I don't think so. And you look at, you know, it's like, come on now. We also beat North Carolina. North Carolina, sorry, Rob, but North Carolina lost to Florida State. So how good is North Carolina for real if they lost to Florida State? If we're being honest, if we don't penalize Florida for losing to LSU, can we not penalize North Carolina for losing to Florida State? I know. I'm saying that I wasn't trying to be funny, but that hate I get is because it's a conference thing and they get the hate and the Notre Dame, you know, how a Big Ten beef has been going on for a long time, but Texas A&M directing it only because of the number of games played, but not looking at, come on now, if we both got one loss, I feel like Texas A&M would beat Notre Dame in a close game if they played each other. I don't think it would be lopsided one way or the other. I can see A&M winning that game by 3 or 4 points. But they both get their doors blown off by Alabama either way it goes, so we're arguing about nothing because I've seen that team just play. Neither one of those dudes beat Alabama if they get to that fourth spot. You can put in Oklahoma, you can put in Cincinnati, you can put in your mama. It ain't going to matter. Whoever was getting that fourth seed against Alabama was going to get their doors blown off. Period.
Yeah. I just don't see how they justify putting a team that lost 34-10 day before in the college football playoffs. I just don't see how they justify. And it's not like they have a great track record of performing well in the college football playoffs. Every time they've gone, they've gotten their ass kicked. And, you know, and they just got their ass kicked the day before by one of the teams in the playoffs. So how do you put them right back in? Let's see what somebody else can do. I don't understand how they put Notre Dame in there because they're Notre Dame, obviously. But you lose 34-10, and then you got rewarded for going to the playoffs the next day. Unbelievable. Shame on the college football committee, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is the Coronas year, and the only thing we got now is TV viewership. And that's how that happened. Which team is going to get the most eyeballs in on these championship games? And like it or not, Notre Dame will put a lot of eyeballs on that TV set. What I would rather
in the first quarter, for sure.
I don't know why Division One, you know, Division One football doesn't do what the Division II, Division III, and all the rest of these divisions in football do. They all have a playoff. They all have a region. And they all come out of where they come out of. And Division I doesn't do it like that. And I know that has something to do with boosters and people that go to Hawaii and party, go to Louisiana and party, go to a Houston party. But this is the Coronas year, so that one shouldn't have mattered. And what I'm talking about, the Coronas year, this wouldn't have mattered either. But I've always thought that Division I football should follow the same paths that the other divisions do to get their champions out of their leagues. But they don't do it, and it's sad.
Playoff P is balling right now, just so y'all know. But, I told y'all this before the season. This has always been a cash grab. This is the raggediest institution in America where they basically use kids as student athletes and pull profits out of them, and everything is based on that. So as Gary just said, yes, TV audience was the major factor, and how much revenue you can be able to produce is why they pick the teams that they pick. So, yeah, Notre Dame shouldn't be there. So what? They got a big fan base. They make money. Ohio State, they didn't play enough games. Well, the Big Ten changed the rules. Guess what? Now Ohio State's in the championship game. Now Ohio State goes to the playoffs. Why? Because that was the best chance for them to get a playoff enter, which means everybody gets money. So, again, the NCAA and college football, they shouldn't be playing this year. What they're doing to these young men is a disgrace. And when we get to the draft, if we hear about anybody with decreased lung capacity or having heart issues or anything like that, I don't want to hear nothing. You draft Trevor Lawrence number one. If he got 40% lung capacity, you still draft him because y'all the ones that wanted him to do this. So, yeah, man, the players don't deserve this. All these coaches are raggedy-ass, sharecropping money-grabbing, terrible human beings who like to present themselves as leaders of men, but what they actually are is basically people who will destroy young men if they can make a profit off it and still somehow glamorize themselves as, you know, great men of society. Like, this is terrible. This is, like, if you tried to explain what the NCAA system was to somebody who wasn't from America, they would look at you like you're crazy. What do you mean? They don't get a paycheck? This is unpaid labor. That's what this is. And at this point, it's unpaid labor being forced into a situation that is dangerous. And now, on top of that, they spit and give a middle finger to the fans and say, we don't care about who you want to see. We are going to maximize profit. So that's what you get. So Notre Dame will get boat raced again. And Brian Kelly will be somewhere with his face red as hell, mad, talking about how somebody didn't make a block or if they had just run the route right or whatever. But we know the outcome here. So it is what it is.
That's a good call. Glenn, I really hate that.
In case y'all
wonder. No, yeah, I really do. Now I'm starting to put those two pieces together. So, gentlemen, we got about 50 minutes left in the show, or 50 minutes here. I think we can get some last topics in. So I'm going to let you guys kind of, like we always did the round robin, kind of pick and choose, because there's a lot of great topics to choose from, because if we do the predictions, we'll be here, like, probably through the whole show. So we can talk about that if you want to. I know there's some good stuff as far as we wanted to get to the expectations for all that stuff and anything else for that. But I'm going to let Rob kind of like start off too, if you will, and we'll kind of go around the horn and kind of have your last moments, if you will, as we get ready to wrap up the last show of 2020, man. It's been a privilege here in the field of battle with you guys as always. But yeah, we have to wrap it up, if you will. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, they got a couple of good games in the NFL this weekend. Obviously, one to watch is the Titans at the Packers, right? The way Derrick Henry has been toting the rock, even Ryan Tannehill has really been playing some good football. And you look at Corey Davis and A.J. Brown at the receiver position. It's going to be a really intriguing football game. I still think, even though there's no fans, it's going to be really tough for them to go on the road and beat Green Bay. So I'm going to have to pick the Green Bay the way Aaron Rodgers has been playing, Devontae Adams. Even though their numbers were slightly down this past week against Carolina, I'd say they bounced back. Aaron Jones and that offense is just going to be tough to stop. So I like the Packers in that matchup here. The Rams at Seattle, another one to watch there too. And both of these teams have become very Jekyll and Hyde. And really, we haven't seen Russell Wilson have a great game in about 4 or 5 weeks now. And I'm looking for him to get Seattle back on track this week. They've been playing a little bit better on the defensive end than they were early in the year. But offensively, they have been obviously not putting up the numbers they were early in the year. So I look for this to be a really close football game. But I think Seattle pulls it out in the end. So those are a couple of really good matchups that will be intriguing to watch this weekend. Obviously, the Colts at the Steelers, we talked about that one earlier. I like the Colts going on the road there. I just think they're the better team right now. And until we can see that the Steelers can run the football and have some diversity in their offense, the Colts are going to be tough to beat. The Colts have a solid defense. They have good rotation at running back. They're getting just enough out of the quarterback. They have a great offensive line. I like them in that matchup. And then the last thing for me I'll touch on is the MVP watch. Still not much change there. The same candidates, Mahomes, Rodgers knocking on that door. Derrick Henry's knocking on that door. And you still got to have Josh Allen in the conversation too. He's been flat out outstanding. I think he had over 300 some yards in Denver, 4 touchdowns, where he's running the football too. It's a 4-horse race with Mahomes still leading the pack.
Yeah, I think it's just Mahomes and Rodgers. I think people have already settled on it the same way they do with their Pro Bowl. The Bulls are like, yep, got the quarterback of probably from the best team in the AFC, quarterback from maybe the best team in the NFC. Let's see him go head-to-head, whoever wins it, maybe with the best record. But I think Mahomes, only because they don't want to go back-to-back, they may give it to Rodgers and some nostalgia. But Mahomes' numbers are just so ignorant that it's going to be hard to keep him away from that award. We already talked some college football. I think you already know I'm in a tough spot because we haven't beaten Clemson. We're 0-4. And I thought our team last year was the best team to upset them, and they had the best game against them. Just a mistake by Olave and Fields at the end cost them a shot. But I think Dabo put Ohio State number 11 in his last poll. That's probably – if I know Ryan Day, the way him and Urban Meyer cut, that's everywhere in the facility, right? Like, that's just disrespectful. Don't see what he says on TV about you now. Look what he said about you in this poll, and let's go out here and get this work and get it done. So I think it's Ohio State and Alabama. But if I'm being honest with you, I don't think they can beat Alabama. I think Alabama is stupid good, and I hate to say that. I would love to get on here and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. But having seen them boys in person, I was like, oh. Yeah, them boys in Bama is playing good ball. And you know who I'm rooting for. But if I'm being honest with you in terms of the show, Alabama's just on another tier. And the devil, Nick Saban, has got him one probably again, if I'm being honest with you. And just to let it go, I see that Michigan has fired the defensive coordinator, and they're probably getting ready to fire the offensive coordinator, too, for putting out that he thought Ohio State should make the college football playoff. I want them to keep all of them boys, personally. Just keep them all, them two and Harbaugh.
Sign them
a 10-year deal.
It's selfish of you, bro.
Y'all, it's way selfish. I own it. It's way selfish. But I get it. Like, they're getting destroyed. The offense hasn't gotten better. And the defense got really predictable. So you get rid of one, you might get rid of the second one, and Harbaugh probably going for all time too. I hate it because those are good wins to get, but from their standpoint, I understand it.
I want to talk
Paul
about
Paul George balling tonight, boys. 31 points.
Yeah, I want to talk about how lucky we are in this holiday season, especially this week with we got Christmas coming up, and you know. I had a downfall after our show last week, and now I'm wearing a catheter, and I'm in a real uncomfortable position right now. But what gives
Damn, Curtis.
Me a lot of hopefully it's not going to be forever, but with this, there's a lot of doctors trying to figure out what happened here. And, you know, it's a pretty major thing. And like I said, I'm uncomfortable having the Mike Johnson have a tube in it is not a really cool thing. But we have basketball, we have football, we have pro football. We have a lot of sports to go through this weekend. And for me, that's going to be a very wonderful thing. Looking forward to what the NBA is going to do on Christmas Day. Saturday and Sunday, we got football. And the Blazers start tomorrow. So for me, I'm locked in. And I'm going to enjoy every bit of the sports that I get to watch during this holiday season.
Hang in there, bro. Damn, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, hang in there. Our prayers are with you, Curtis.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to
hang in there, keep fighting. We know you're a warrior, brother.
Yeah, we'll get through this. It's for me, it's one day at a time. And like I was saying, every one day, I'm going to look forward to what, you know, being a fan of sports does for me.
Yeah, good distraction. Yeah, Pastor Robson, we're praying for you, man. Keep going strong, man. We appreciate you and even the fact that you bring something to the show, man. So we appreciate this moment every single week to get a chance to connect for sure. So, yeah. Nah, it's always a tough transition, bro. As I gotta like let you kind of get your last thoughts in too as well, man. So anything you want to talk about, and then like you said, I know this is the last show of 2020. It's been great having you call in just to have your amazing humor and wit, man. It's been great, man. So we appreciate you keep calling in. I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up the show.
Well, first things first. For those who don't know, Trump and McConnell are in a fight right now, and because McConnell pissed off Trump, he said he'll change the stimulus to $2,000. So, Curtis.
No, he didn't.
$2,000 stimulus, you go to the horse track, you put that bet down, You make it happen, man. Curtis, Gary, y'all get out there on them horses, man. Get on the ponies
nice.
And this money come in. But, yeah, your boy 45 has finally taken on Mitch McConnell. It's a slap fight on social media. I've been watching this more than the game. I can't wait to see what kind of curse words these dudes are using. Y'all think the sports dudes be fighting. Wait till y'all see this tonight. Like, they are going at
it
really tonight. 2000? And both of them are hot. Well, it's not finalized, but that's what he threw out there. They were trying to finalize the bill, and he said, you know what? I don't think that's enough. I think it should be 2,000 just to hit Mitch
McConnell's
stomach.
Canada's doing it right now.
It's just great.
And if y'all know anything about that turtle, man, he's a tough guy. So I don't know if he's going to take that land down from 45. So this is going to be interesting. So, yeah, Gertie and Curtis, might get that 2 racks. Time to go to the horse track. I'm going to have to get a bet from y'all. But, yeah, bet playoff P, man. When a man is laughed at by his whole profession, you don't know how hard that dude might work and come back much better. I think Paul George surprises people this year. I know this sounds crazy me saying this, but I think people this year.
I say the same thing.
Pride,
too, just getting
pride
out of that
is a powerful thing, man. Industry is laughing at you and you become a joke.
He didn't perform well in that bubble.
Right. When you become a joke.
Well, outside the bubble, he was
work
still throwing Doc Rivers under the bus. Doc Rivers was using me like Ray Allen. Come on, man. At some point, you got to own that own that piece of it. Like, he was tripping.
Right.
Like, he's balling tonight, but again, it's like your favorite team who's always expected to win. Tonight doesn't matter. Like, he can wake up in the morning, there, we beat them. Okay, you went up 1-0 against the Lakers. So what? It's going to matter
what happens
in this summer.
You're probably right. All I'm saying is the improbable thing could happen when somebody is brought that low. When you're humbled to that degree, when you become a meme and everybody's laughing at you, like, that could, you know, turn on some pride and light a fire in somebody. So you never know. But either way, man, it's been good talking with y'all this year on sports. Love the conversations. Wish I could be here with y'all more. And let me get out the way because I know I took up too much time, man. But everybody be safe, be healthy, praying for you. And, you know, we'll get through this, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Have a great holiday.
To be,
be safe out there, Rob. I know you're out there gallivanting, making it rain. And acting cool. Get some of that caviar for me when you're out the country.
Stay in the hookah bar. They stay in the hookah bar. They're scaring the hell out of me down here, dude.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. Yeah.
Stay away from those lemon pepper wings, too, by the way, man. So it's a whole little conversation, but
man.
All good. we appreciate you, Nash. Like you said, man, some good stuff. And like you said, I concur.
Absolutely.
As far as just, you know, just we'll get through this year. I know there's some silver linings, believe it or not, even though it's been pretty bad, but there's definitely a silver lining as far as how everything is, too. So I think it's kind of a lot of people to kind of like spend time with family and just kind of like reassess what really is important. I agree with Rob. Trump's been an embarrassment. And, you know, in all of this, you know, everything is kind of like definitely just coming back on him as far as Corona. And it's just nuts, man. So there's no words, man. No words. But again, let's wrap this up, Rob, because you guys have been amazing. I'll be back in the A officially in February. So my job will let me work remotely from here. So that'll be cool. No more Charlotte
nice.
Trips, you know, unless I'm just going to hang out. But I'll be back, and that'll be good to not have an extra money paying for that apartment. But fun times, man. So that's my 2 cents with that, too. So there it is.
Good stuff. For you, Andre.
Yeah, man. Good stuff.
Hey, let's try to keep arguing. Hell, we might get to 3,500 by the time the night's over. That man mad as hell. Keep his hands off.
Mad white dudes. Love it, man.
Yeah, let them keep fighting.
I know, right?
Get that accountable.
I missed your statement, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen,
you
thank you all for tuning in. Another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We certainly appreciate you all dialing in, wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Be safe out there, everyone. Keep wearing your mask. Keep washing your hands, people. Have good hand hygiene. Good hand hygiene, people. Help us fight, get rid of this virus here, and get vaccinated. When your opportunity comes for you to get the vaccine, get it. It's going to be the quickest way for us to get out of this pandemic. But anyway, thank you all. Be safe.
Nice.
We're going to be taking next week off. We're going to be back on the air on Wednesday, January 6th, right after the new year. We'll get you updated on the NFL playoffs, update you on the college football playoff and the championship game by then. So once again, Wednesday, January 6th, we're going to be back, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Once again, Wednesday, January 6th, we'll be back at you, people. Good night. Be safe.
Good night, good people. Have a happy holidays.
Hang in
there,
Merry Christmas.
Love you, bro. Stay safe, man.
Keep it going, man. And, I love you guys. And thank you guys for letting me be a part of this. And it's been really special to be a part of this. And, yeah, I'm
glad
so
to
happy.
Have you, bro.
Yeah, that I was able to see a bunch of stuff, even as a young guy. And I got to thank my father for taking me to football games in the 60s. And, you know, in the 60s, Denver had an ABA team. And that was Spencer Haywood and Julie Keys and people like that I saw. And I didn't go to too many baseball games, sadly. But football and basketball, I've seen a lot. And I was at a lot of sporting events. And that's very special to me, to have those memories.
Well, hopefully we can make some more too, man. We gotta hang on. We gotta get some more memories in there as well too. So that's what we're going for. 1,000%.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for adjusting the show till tonight. I know tomorrow night I'm going to the Pelicans Raptors game here in Tampa. JQ, you gotta let me know, man, how is going to games in this post COVID environment. This will be my first sporting event in this COVID environment. I know they're only allowing 3,000 fans in there, but I'll be at the game tomorrow night. And then got to get up early Christmas Eve morning. So thank y'all for adjusting. But I will be masked up.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, you got to be masked up. They got
you
spread out.
In there. Call Kyle Lowry back. That's all I want. I need you to do that. Echo Kyle Lowry.
That's hilarious.
I'll do anything to get a Boston game tomorrow night.
We don't want Kyle going off in the Pelicans. Nah, he may do that. He's
just going to the Pelicans.
Oh, man.
They might kick me out of the arena like they used to do that old heckler. Remember the Washington Bullets? They had the heckler right behind the visiting team bench.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Y'all got some issues.
I'm still hoping.
All right, fellas.
I'm still hoping that we get a chance with the motorhomes. And I got a van now that can carry my wheelchair. I hope we make it down there to do a Super Bowl Sunday.
We're gonna figure that out, Curtis, for sure, man. But, yeah, good deal. All right, fellas, have a great holiday, man. If I don't talk to y'all, I'm sure we'll get some texting in. Be safe and have fun. Peace.
All right,
y'all. Gentlemen. Merry Christmas.
This is
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy Festivus for the
Happy New Year.
That's for the rest of us, by the
Happy
way.
Happy New Year.
All that stuff, too. Yeah.
Merry New Year.
There it is.
Coming to America, too.
Yeah, I see the trailer.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
Peace out, fellas.
All right.